Father, we are so, so, so very grateful for what you have shared with us through your precious daughters and your dearly beloved son, whom you have called into these various units of this ministry to coordinate your work. Thank you for what you have put in their hearts, and they have yielded and they have shared with us. Thank you, Father, for we shall be willing and obedient. Thank you, merciful Father, for other things that you also want to add to it. We shall hear, and we shall be willing and obedient. And we shall be careful to return all the praises and glory back unto you. What a good Father you are. We give you the praise, and we thank you for answered prayers. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. So thank you so much for your patience with us and for hearing us out. Because the Bible said we should encourage each other in the Lord to keep on doing the right thing. So our theme for this ministry is a week is Ambassadors for Christ. That's our theme. But our topic today is we are extraordinary ambassadors for Christ. We are extraordinary ambassadors for Christ. I want you to hit your chest and say, I am an extraordinary ambassador for Christ. Say it a minute. I am an extraordinary ambassador for Christ. I am an extraordinary ambassador for Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. But before I get to it, we know that we are called Christians, Christ-like people, from the word, the name Christ. And Christ is our head, the head of the church. And his mission while he was here on earth was to seek and to save that which was lost. And all through the years he was there, here on earth, he kept on doing the same. He said in Luke 19:10, that the Son of God, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he made that his food. He said that was his necessary food. He said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So he stayed on course and finished his work and finished it very well. All the while he was there, he kept on making that statement that he said, I do not seek my own will. Because he knew why he came. The Bible said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That was why he sent him. So he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's my food, which means this is what I eat and I'm satisfied and I keep at his will. Now, we today are called brothers and sisters of Jesus because we have put our faith in him. And he said that the ones that he identified as his brothers and sisters are those ones who do the will of his Father. He said, the same are my brothers and my sisters. What is the will of the Father? To seek and to save that which was lost. He finished here. He handed the baton over unto us to continue to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said it's in keeping with the will of the Father, that's how he kept himself in the love of the Father. And he said in John 15 verse 10, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandment and remain in his love. When you keep my commandments, to continue to seek and to save that which was lost. That's how you remain in the Father's love for you. God blessed us to be a blessing, and the blesser lives in us, Jesus in us, the hope of glory. So we as children of God, children of the kingdom, are supposed to continue to follow after the footsteps of our master. And that is in keeping in line with the will of the Father for our lives. You can imagine this was the priority of Paul when he began to pray for the Colossians in Colossians 1:9 to 11. Colossians 1:9 to 11. He said there, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it," we heard you are now, you have embraced the gospel. He said, "Do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled," not trickled, "you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord." That is pursuing his way. He said, fully pleasing him. So part of that fully pleasing him is going after his will. His will to seek and to save that which was lost. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Because sometimes it may not be easy, like you had them sharing with us here. But you have to keep on persevering in seeking after his will, in pursuing his will, in fulfilling his will while you're here on earth. And that way, you know, there's that joy, that fulfillment in knowing that you are fully yielded to the Lord in following his instructions, in going about his business. Amen? Now let's go to our text, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. Verse 18, it says, "Now all things are of God, who has done what? Reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation." He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, and that's what we are doing in these three units of this ministry. "That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So, God has committed to us this business of reconciling the world to himself. Jesus, while he was here, was doing that and handed it over to the disciples. And then, now to us who are his followers today, say, "Now then," in verse 20, "we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us." So, as you're sharing the good news, it's like God is pleading through you to whoever it is that is listening to please be reconciled back unto God. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. An accredited diplomat, you know, is a high-ranking diplomat. So the word accredited is just showing that this person meets the essential requirements and is a high-ranking diplomat because he has been accredited. And the diplomat word there is still saying, you know, talking about somebody who is representing a country in another country. Like here in the U.S., we have Nigerian ambassador, you have Cameroonian ambassador, you have different countries having their representatives here. In the same manner, in different other countries, you have people that are representing those countries in those areas. So now, in Christ Jesus, we are all high-ranking diplomats. Why? Because we've been accredited. You know what made you accredited? Because you have the Spirit of Christ in you. That qualifies you. That's what makes you qualified ambassador. Because you can't reconcile the world to Jesus, to God, if you don't have Christ in you. Amen? So, And he said in verse 19 of that 2 Corinthians where we read, said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespass. It's not imputing their trespass. It's not judging them for their sin because he knows that Jesus already fully paid. All he's asking them to do is say, look, come back to me. My son already paid fully. Get reconciled back up. That's what you're telling them when you say give your life to Jesus. Because Jesus paid it all. That's why in John 3:17, the Bible says, for God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So you don't refuse or reject the truth to anyone. You don't say, this one has gone beyond mekwantansi. Look at how he's dressed. Look at all this color. I don't have to preach to this person. Let me go to this person. No, everybody, you owe everybody the right to hear this truth. Because Jesus is the one who paid fully for it. So you go ahead and share the gospel with them regardless of their sin. Just first of all, tell them the truth. And leave the Holy Spirit, like they shared with us here, is the one who does the conviction. And then when they now come to the Lord, through the word of God, will begin to work on them. Will begin to clean them up. Amen? So you leave the rest with God, but you do the aspect that is expected of you. So, God reconciling the world to himself through us. So you find out that because Jesus is in you, he was doing it while he was here, but now that he's in you, the work is still being done through you. The Bible said in John 17:23, say, I in them and you in me. So God in Christ and Christ in you. So the job continues because God is a spirit, but he needs us, the vessel that he could flow through to share with the physical man. You can imagine what happens if somebody begins to hear, you give your life, you look around, you don't see who is talking to you. They might begin to run away. But they can relate with you because you're bearing the same kind of a body that they have. But then, because you have the Spirit of Christ, you could now talk to them about the Christ that is in you. So, verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God we are pleading through us. It is God that is pleading through you, but then he has to use your tongue. So that's why you have to say something. And we are told here that how can they hear without a preacher? Somebody has to tell them. Somebody has to tell them about Jesus. And God depends on you and I to do that. You say you. Yes, I mean you and me. God is depending on us because we have Jesus in us. The reason is because, you know, you are included among those that are his. Jesus, while he was living here on earth in John 17, verse 20, he said, I do not pray for these alone. That's the disciples with him at the time. He said, but also for those who will believe in my name through them. And we are the ones that believe in him today. So that's talking about you and I that are now born again. Many of those disciples of old, they are gone. So that we are the current ones today. And remember all the time that you, though you are in this world, you are not of this world. The Bible said in John 17:16, say, they are not of the world. You are not of the world if you are born. The moment you are born again, automatically you cease to be, you know, from this world. You cease to become a member of God. You stand to become a member of God's whole household, though you are still living here in this physical world. So that John 17:16 says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So your new life is in Christ. Colossians 3:2-4 says, for you die to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. I thank God for my beloved brother, I know the minister, I know that preached to us last Sunday, telling us about the beautiful death. Remind yourself every day that, like I do, Dorothy died. This one that you're seeing is Jesus. This is Jesus. Somebody else might not understand it, but I know that this is Jesus. The life that I live today, like Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It is no longer I, but Christ. I don't have any life anymore. This life belongs to him. That's what Colossians 3:2-4 is telling us. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Verse 2. For you die to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's not what we have. Verse 4. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the world, you will share in his glory. Amen. So you die to this life. If you don't know that you die to this life, ask God by his Spirit to reveal to you the fact that you are dead to this life. You are dead to this life. You must know that. You are a spiritual person. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. So, when you choose to be the light of the world that you're called to be, because Jesus, the light of the world, lives in you, your life will be provoking a thought in the lives of those around you. They want to desire to be like you. They want to desire to have what you have. But that is when you choose to allow the life of Christ in you to showcase on the outside, because that is your real life. 1 Peter 3:15, which my precious sister Esther quoted, is where Paul was saying that, but in your heart, he set Christ, I think it was a Brocris, set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confidence, assurance, elicited by faith that is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Your life will be provoking a thought in them. They want to know what makes this life different. What is it about this person? They want to know. They will be studying you quietly without telling you that your life is provoking a thought. So without your preaching, without your telling them about Jesus, your life is speaking volumes. And if someone else elsewhere should now tell them about Jesus, say, oh, so this must be, I see. It will be easy for them to willingly yield to the cause of Christ because of your life that have been shining as light. Remember, you are a citizen of heaven. You are now fellow citizens with the saints. You are not a citizen of this per se, even though physically, on record, you could be a citizen of here, but your citizenship is from heaven. That's what the Bible told us in Ephesians 2:19. You are a member of God's household because you have been built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is now your chief cornerstone. And based on that, you are a chosen generation, like, you know, our beloved pastor, you know, Victor shared with us. You are called for to show his excellence. So by that excellent life, it will become easier for this gospel to be preached because your life is speaking volumes to those around you. So in Philippians 3:20 also affirms the fact that he said, but we are different. That's what makes you different, because your citizenship is from heaven. So we must not join those who in their heart are thinking, I've been hearing this for a long time, and then, you know, this thing is not really happening. Jesus is not coming. They keep saying, share the gospel. And the world is getting worse and worse. Don't get discouraged. Don't get put off. Keep on sharing the gospel. It will be like the days of Noah. They say, everything has continued until when the flood started. Don't get carried away. The Bible said in James chapter 5, 7 to 8, we as Christians are encouraged to patiently wait like farmers, but just keep on sharing this good news. Say, so wait patiently, brothers and sisters, unto the coming of the Lord. For the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. The farmer, when they plant, they just trust God for the outcome. That's what you do. You preach this gospel instant in season and out of season, and you trust God for the outcome. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be welcoming you in heaven. They say, your life helped me. Your words helped me. This you did help me. You'll be saying, when did I do that? It is right here and now while you're still well and alive. Verse 8 says, you too be patient, strengthen your hearts, keep them energized and firmly committed to God, because the coming of the Lord is near. It's certainly near. I mean, every one of us, it's obvious the way the world is going today. In the Revelation chapter 22, Jesus himself confirms the fact that he's indeed coming. So if the word ever carries it, just know that it is true. Verse 12 says, look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. We are the church of Jesus Christ. I am both the source of David and the heir of his throne. I am the bright morning star. He who is a faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. If he said it, he's coming. You can bet on that. So we should live for him. You know, the Bible says he died for us, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So from your waking up in the morning till you're going to bed in the night, your life should be lived for him and for him only. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, for our good news regarding salvation came to you not only in word, but also in its inherent power and in the Holy Spirit, and with great conviction on our part. You know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your benefit. So you live for God in your home. Encourage your husband to keep on living for Jesus. While you're encouraging him, he gets strengthened to live for Jesus out there. Encourage your wife to live for Jesus. Encourage your children to live for Jesus by modeling the life of Christ at home, as your place of work, everywhere you find yourself. He said, you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your benefit. And you preach this word has inherent power in it to convert a soul. That's why when you preach, you trust God to do the conversion. It's not your job, but your job is to preach the gospel. And he has already made the power available to us, because the Bible said we have received power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. If you have not received the baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you need it. It's not that you, if you don't have it, you won't go to heaven. But you get to. Otherwise, you're going to be a yo-yo Christian here on earth. In fact, you will get to heaven quicker because you will lack the power to live this Christian life. And we have our beloved Pastor Chooks, who is always there every Sunday, waiting for anyone who wants to be filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You have been called to be an extraordinary ambassador. Not an ambassador, but an extraordinary one. The reason you are an extraordinary ambassador is because when I checked out the meaning of ambassador, the dictionary says ambassador is ordinary when they reside permanently at a foreign court. They reside permanently at a foreign court. And then or extraordinary when they are sent on a special location. Which means, for instance, if America is doing something and we have a Nigerian ambassador and they are invited, they are considered as extraordinary ambassador. But if they are just living here as a representative of Nigeria, but they are not being invited to anything, they are just ordinary ambassador. But in our own case, we are extraordinary ambassador here because we have been sent. The Bible said in Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. Say, go therefore. Is a command to be obeyed. It's not a suggestion. Go therefore. So you've been sent on a special occasion. So every day you live, always remember that you have been sent on a special occasion. So as you're marching out every day, know that you are representative of Christ, that you're on assignment, on a heavenly assignment. Every day I get to work, I say, Daddy, I thank you because I'm here. Because I'm here, you're here. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. So have your way. What are we going to do today? Yes, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. I'm listening. Whatever you want me to say, whatever you want me to do to anyone, anywhere, I'm ready. Because I've been sent and you've been sent. So we are extraordinary ambassadors. And we need to get at it. And you know, the Bible said in Matthew 6, that it said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things, the character and kingdom lifestyle. Say, and every other thing shall be added to you. As you go about doing this, your own needs will be met. You don't have to ask God for anything because he knows you have need of whatever you have need of. Those need, I mean, I don't see any ambassador that is not being well provided for by the country that sent him. It doesn't happen. If it does, then maybe that ambassador is not doing his or her job. The Bible encourages us not to, you know, use the grace that is given to us in vain. In 2 Corinthians 6, as co-laborers with him, we should not receive this grace in vain. It's very, very important. There's that Bema seat of judgment. I remember that beloved Pastor Victor taught us that when we were still over there. And at that time, that Bema seat of judgment, God is going to reward you for how you have used all the grace that God has given you. That's when you will find a lot of people that are welcoming you because through you, the gospel became obvious and they were able to make heaven. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, he said, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. I mean, why should I be boasting that I'm preaching the gospel? Me, Dorothy, why should I be boasting? Because that's a command. It's not a suggestion. This is what the Lord expects of me because it is his life that I'm living. He said, for necessity is laid upon me. He said, yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. We are called to represent Jesus here. He said that the grace of God towards him was not in vain. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, he said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That same grace of God is with you, child of God, if you have met Jesus, the Lord over your life. I can't remember whether it was Joyce Meyer or Andrew Womack who said that the grave is full of so many people who lived here without even touching the first thing that God assigned them to do. And yet in Revelation 4:11, the Bible said that we are created for his pleasure. But it's like a lot of people are living for their own pleasure. From waking up, they are thinking about themselves, about their children, about their, not about kingdom business. But when you treat the matters of the kingdom, prioritize on the matters of the kingdom, your own business will be taken care of. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Everyone that believes. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This salvation is a whole total package. Whether health, whether provision, whether protection, whether making heaven, that's a total package. So he said he's not ashamed, neither should we. Because we are carriers of God. We have Jesus in us. We should use, you know, Paul says something that really stuck on my head. He said all the time, he said, for me to live is Christ. For me, if I'm living here, it's all Jesus. And that's me, is Jesus. I don't know anything else but Jesus. We are called to use our whole body as an instrument to glorify him. Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Let's read it together. Romans 13, 6 verse 13. Ready, go. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Say it to yourself, so use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Use your whole body, your body language, your tone of voice, your everything about you. The Yorubas will say, gbogbo ni egbo, everything. Use everything about you for God's glory. Whether you are in a closed door, in the bathroom, where people are seeing you, let everything about you bring him glory. So it is important also to help people be open for this salvation. I think I've mentioned that before, but I want to comment on what my precious sister Esther said in that 1 Corinthians 10. Paul said, whether you eat or drink, whether you, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He said, do not offend Jews or Greeks. He said, or even the church of God. Don't become an offense to anybody in the church, whereby they will be discouraged about Jesus. But live to honor him. Live to honor, live before the audience of one, 24/7. The grace of God abounds for you to do it. You say, just as I please everyone in all things, so as much as possible, adapting myself to the interests of others, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, so that they will be open to the message of salvation and may be saved. You are gunning that through your life, your influence, somebody else will be able to catch this person for Jesus if it doesn't work through you. So that's why we must really prioritize kingdom business. And this is not a suggestion. Choose to prioritize him. Choose to willingly submit to him, withholding nothing. Choose to follow him fully, whether people commend you or not, regardless of your circumstances or whatever. Let him be the number one in everything that you do. Don't jeopardize your marriage or your children because of money. Do not. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 6, you say, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and I encourage and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? In these days and times where people are pursuing money, they want to be like the Joneses. They want to change cars. They want to change clothes. And therefore, they trivialize things of the kingdom for money. A lot of times they're not even there to be there for their children or be there for their wives and or their husbands, and marriages are being affected, and the thing is tainting the image of Jesus Christ because they are known as believers. We don't have to do that. God knows what you have need of. Prioritize kingdom business and God will take care of you. He said so and he meant every word of it. So, 45 in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, Paul was encouraging the believers. He said in 12, verse 11, say, never lagging behind in diligence. Let's read this. The last one, say, aglow in the spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord. Let your enthusiasm in serving the Lord shoot high. You fan the flame by constantly fellowshipping, by constantly studying the word of God, meditating on the word of God, praying in the Holy Spirit. That way you energize yourself to stay in the love of God. You energize yourself to be ready to share this gospel at any time. You energize yourself by being a model whereby somebody else can have a stepping stone to make heaven. You cannot help but see what the world is going through when you're in tune with him. So let us make up our minds to choose to shine for Jesus. We have to wise up spiritually. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3b says, Those who are spiritually wise will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. I want to shine like the stars forever and ever. I don't bother what people say about me. All that matters to me, I am seeking for the commendation that comes from him. And that's what we should all be seeking by choosing to follow him fully. And then in Romans 10:16, it also emphasized that, because the other one was in the Old Testament. Romans 10:16, yeah, let's read it together. Just as it is written and forever remains written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. How beautiful are the feet of, they say, just as it is written and forever remains written. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. I want my feet to remain beautiful in bringing this good news of good tidings. And the gospel is that good news of great tidings. Shall we all rise? I believe we have had so much today. God is encouraging us. This is not a flashy ministry, but he is calling us to the call of Christianity, what God called us for, to live for him. I want you to begin to pray for yourself. Begin to pray for yourself. Ask God that his grace will abound. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of God, that you will live for him, that you will honor him, that you will glorify him in everything about your life, that your life will be speaking volumes about Jesus, that as you step out here, whether people are watching you or not, seeing you or not, your life will be radiating for the glory of the one that you're carrying, because you're already dead. Your new life is the life of Christ. And while we are praying, if you're here and you've never met Jesus, the Lord, over your life, all eyes closed, all heads bowed, I want you to indicate by lifting up your hand, because that is the first step. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to him. If you're here and you've never met Jesus, the Lord, over your life, or maybe you're watching online and you've never met Jesus, the Lord, over your life, this is a wonderful opportunity for you so that you will have this life of Christ. Is there anyone? 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 And those of us online, let's all pray together this prayer. Let's say together, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I believe that the death that you died was for all my sins, past, present, and even future sin. Today, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I am so happy that I now belong to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, as many as have from their heart of heart, and even those watching online, they have genuinely received Jesus today, the 17th of March, 2024, as their Lord and their Savior. Father, we thank you because we know the scripture cannot be broken, for they have received that right to become your children. As newborn babes in the Lord, we commit them into your hands, that by the power of your Spirit, you will help them to begin to grow to be all that you have destined for their lives. Father, help them to connect with us or to go to a living church around them where they could grow and hear more about how life is being lived in the kingdom where they now belong. We are grateful to you. Father, your word we have had today, it will not return unto you void. Your Spirit will continue to prick us in our hearts until we begin to do what you want us to do, so that the kingdom of God will be expanded here on earth, that when finally Jesus comes at that bema seat, so many rewards will be accorded to us for the way we use fully every grace that you have given unto us. We give you the praise, faithful Father. We thank you for answered prayers. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.